Resuming our study today in 2 Samuel, chapter 5, verse 22. And Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go all the way back to verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it, and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also came, and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up to the Philistines? Will you deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, Go up, for I will certainly deliver the Philistines into your hand. And of course, that's the exact opposite of what God told King Saul when he was in charge of Israel. Just shortly before this, and that's because David was walking with the Lord and Saul had rebelled against God. 20. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, The Lord has broken forth upon mine enemies before me as a surging of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men buried them, which is a good thing to do with things that are unsightly in the eyes of God, sinful things like idols, or anything else that God despises. Verse 22, And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And so the Philistines came up again, and that is so typical of God's enemies. And it's so typical of our spiritual enemies as well as Christians. Even Jesus was tempted three times. Now, we should rejoice when we overcome temptation, but we should not feel like it's the end of the battle. The world, the flesh, and the devil won't quit pounding on us as long as we're in this world in our flesh and blood bodies. 23. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up, but make a circuit behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And here's more proof that you cannot reduce God's will to a formula or to an equation. It's just not that simple. Living for God is not like following a recipe. Last time David attacked the Philistines, it was up the middle with God leading the charge. This time, the divine quarterback called for a different plan. It's very important for us to stay close to God so that we will do what he wants us to do the way he wants us to do it today, because it might be different than how we did something similar yesterday. 24. And let it be, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. David was to move into position and then wait. He could not advance until he heard marching from the treetops, and evidently, when the angelic armies of Almighty God started marching out, that was David's cue to move out also. 25. And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until you come to Gezer. And so the key to David's success is that he did exactly what God told him to do. People who say that they want to follow God but always choose to do something else will fail, will waste their lives. Chapter 6, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And so some of the best soldiers from each tribe are called by David. It's important for the nation to be united in what they are about to do. And so he wanted every tribe to have a part in this. Verse 2, and David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baalah, Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. Jerusalem is the new capital city of Israel, but things will not be quite right until it is also the central place of worship. So we have 30,000 soldiers, along with David, to bring the Ark of the Covenant, a grand total of 8 miles from where it is, to Jerusalem. Now watch verse 3. And they set the Ark of God upon a new cart. Mistake. That was a mistake. You say, what are they supposed to use? An old cart? No, watch this. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And as I said, that was a mistake. It may seem like a small thing, but God does not give any small commands. They put the holy ark on a cart. And I suppose they thought God would be impressed with the fact that it was a new cart. But God's commandment was clear. Slide poles through the rings which are attached to the ark and carry it by poles whenever it is transported. That is what God said in his word. And they're not doing it. 4. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. So evidently Ahio walked before the cart while Uzzah walked alongside of it. 5. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. This was like a parade with God as the grand marshal. This is a worship service. Everyone is praising God. Everyone is happy. And it's good to be happy about God. You know, Jesus can make us more happy than anything else. And that's just normal if he is our Lord and our Savior. Verse 6, and when they came to Nacron's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Now, it looks as if the ark is going to fall off the cart, so Uzzah instinctively, I'm sure, grabs it. There's just one problem. God said, never touch his ark, which was his throne on earth. And that's a very important type that cannot be destroyed without being punished. Because God was saying, sinners may not come into my presence because I'm holy. Don't become overly familiar with me because I'm holy. And Uzzah sort of stumbled into the throne room of God and touched him. And you will see the results. Verse 7, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Someone says, wow, isn't that harsh? No, it's not harsh. Never think of God as being harsh. He is not. He is fair. He is just. He is holy. He warned ahead of time, didn't he? You bet he did. He warned ahead of time, do not touch it, or you will die. He warned them ahead of time. He instructed them very clearly. When you move the ark, carry it on poles. Why? So that an accident like this would not happen, and you wouldn't have to touch it. But for whatever reason, they thought that they had a better way than God, and their better way set them up for failure. See, God did everything that he could do, short of eliminating their free will, to avoid this. So sin's penalty is never God's fault. It's always the sinner's fault. 8. And David was displeased because the Lord had broken forth in anger against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. The place was known as Wrath on Uzzah. That's what it means. Wrath on Uzzah. And David is evidently not too happy with God. Sinful man, not too happy with God. Who does David or anyone else think they are? God makes the rules. He warns about the consequences of disobedience. If we break God's rules, we can blame ourselves for the punishment. Don't ever blame God. It's never his fault. 9. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" Well, it's pretty simple, actually. Do it God's way. Like God told Cain after his lousy offering. You know, Cain was feeling miserable because God accepted Abel's offering, but not Cain's. And God said, if you do what's correct, it's going to be okay. Obedience is a lot easier and a lot more fun than disobedience. It doesn't take any longer to do something the right way. And you'll feel much better after you're done. 10. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. I think David was gun-shy here. Evidently, he didn't catch on to the correct way of doing this. And so he was just afraid. He didn't know what to do. I mean, he was praising God. He was celebrating God. They were worshiping God. They put it on a new cart. I don't think David knew that. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Ignorance is no excuse for sin, as we saw, but I honestly don't think David knew what the Word of God said concerning transporting this ark, because I think if he did, he would have done it the right way, because he had a heart for God. So anyway, he's gun-shy now. He doesn't know what to do. Well, look at verse 11. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. So God's ark, and really all the holy things of God, they're not a curse when they're treated properly. In fact, they are a source of blessing. But when people treat God or holy things as if they were common and treat them like you would treat anything else, well, naturally, there's going to be trouble. God wants to be respected. He demands respect. He is full of grace. He is full of mercy. But don't trifle with his holiness, or he'll show you in a hurry that he is a God to be reckoned with. And we see here that Obed-Edom was blessed because he showed proper respect. And that was the difference between Obed and Edom and his attitude toward the ark and the attitude that David and Uzzah and Ahio had.